Welcome to the Maneuver Meta, where I, and sometimes Paul, discuss the evolving meta in Flames of War version 4 Late War. I'm Lexi, and I've been playing Flames of War on and off for around 11 years. While I've played on and off, I've continually collected a large German, American, and Soviet armies. At the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, I dragged my roommate Paul kicking and screaming into the Flames of War community. So let's declare our stance to maneuver and ready our reserves. Episode 1, 116th Panzer Division Greyhound. So before we dive in too hard, I feel like it's going to be important for me to define what meta is, because it is a hotly contested topic, and I've even gotten into arguments with people just going off of this, what the definition of meta is. So my definition that I'm going to be using for the sake of this podcast, feel free to argue with me in the comments down below, is meta is the most competitive way to play the game. The way that I determine meta mostly boils down to probability with dice rolls. But in addition to that, there is two other things that I look at. I'm a firm believer that the 4+ careful hit on rating versus the 3+ aggressive, that 4+ is meta. It's definitely meta with the way the math works out. And that's going to be a common theme that you all are going to hear throughout all of this. And that Paul's going to give me shit for, consistently. But under combat conditions, which is generally a +2 to hit, be it for concealment, gone to ground, or long range in concealment, the 4+ ends up at a 6, and the 3+ ends up at a 5. And so what that means is a 5+ is going to hit 1/3 of the time, whereas a 6+ is going to hit 1/6 of the time. When those get converted out into percentages and you look at it, 5+ is going to get hit twice as much as 6+. And God's forbid that you take a concealment, gone to ground, and long range and get that up to a 7, because then that drops it below a 6% chance to hit, which is insane. So this may all seem minor, but when a shift from 33 to 16%, or even 6 to 5%, it starts becoming massive when you're throwing handfuls of dice. So if you have a unit with base 3 aggressive statistic, it's going to get hit twice as many times as the unit with the 4+. So say, for example, we have the unit with a 5+ end result from the 3+, we'll say concealed and long range, getting shot at, in comparison to a 4+ careful unit in the exact same situation. If you throw for, let me just figure out some quick simplistic math here, you throw 30 dice, or 100, we'll throw 100 dice at them just to make it quick and easy, 100 dice at them. The 3+ unit is going to take, on average, 33 hits, whereas the 6+ unit is going to take, on average, 16 hits. That's a pretty massive difference in my head, and is one of the main reasons why I tend to slip towards the 4+ careful being meta. And the main reason with that is I find it difficult to bring enough on the field outside of Soviet infantry, which is another conversation that will have its own episode dedicated to, that especially for armor, that 4+ to hit can be one of the determining factors if it's meta or not. So, long and short of that is 3+ aggressive will be taking double or even in some instances triple the amounts of hits as 4+ in combat conditions. The second thing I'll look for is a way to discount units or a pretty cheaply costed unit anyway. With the way points work in this game and the way points work in every single game, one of the bottom lines on the meta is being able to field as much as possible for as little amount of points so that you can have numbers on your side. And the way that this works in Flames of War is usually through command cards or cheap units that you can swarm your opponent with. And so what ends up happening is you get two trains of thought with list building I've encountered when running into discounted units or cheaply costed units, is you'll just have a straight overrun strategy where you're going to take as much infantry as you can or as much of anything as you can just to put as many bodies and hulls on the table as possible. That old adage that the Soviets threw more men at the Germans than they had bullets. You know, just that whole idea that, you know, you're going to be hitting everything of mine quicker. You're going to be killing everything of mine quicker. But for every one of mine that you kill, there's going to be two more on the table. And then the other list building that I've ran into with these cheap core units, so to speak, is taking elite options, which we'll go into with 116th Panzer Division Greyhound lists as one of the main things, as one of the main styles that this is played with. And so this meta and my view on this meta has formed essentially because of 116th Greyhound. The formation card came out of the D-Day German book, which was released all the way back in September of 2019. 116th Panzer Division Greyhound. Ordered to counterattack the American breakthrough at Mortain, the newly rebuilt 116th Panzer Division performed well as the rearguard at Falaise. All units in this formation lose Third Reich and have a last stand rating of 5+ and a tactics rating of 4+ for -2 points per unit. This card is usable on both Panzer Grenadier companies and some tank companies. I'm going to be focusing in on the Panzer Grenadier companies today, particularly the Armored Panzer Grenadier Company. So the 116th Panzer Division Greyhound fits both of the requirements. It managed just to keep that ever-important careful 4+ hit-on rating, and its units are also discounted in a way that doesn't really affect them on the table in too much of a negative sense to make them not viable. So what the Greyhound card does is it discounts the modifications. Makes it so that your last stand becomes a 5+ and your tactics becomes a 4+, which is changing from a 3+ and a 3+, respectively, for -2 points per unit in the formation. So the reason why this matters but doesn't entirely matter is because last stand for infantry only comes into play when you have 2 or less stands. If you have 3 stands of infantry on the field, you are still in good spirits and don't have to start rolling that last stand. If you're down to 2 infantry stands, they're arguably not going to be doing that much that would impact it. They would have either done what they've needed to already, which is take the amount of fire to kill them down to 2 infantry stands, or been harassing somebody enough to have made their points back. So the way I've encountered most infantry being played is deployed, hunkered in foxholes on objectives, or maneuvering with a formation leader to be able to get the motivation bonuses. Dug-in infantry, however, are some of the hardest things to kill in the game unless you have specialized equipment in your list for dealing with them. I mean, we've all had our days of firing MGs into an infantry unit that's dug in or chilling in a building, just to watch turn after turn of saving throws passing or us failing to throw a 6 on the firepower. You really have to bring specialized weapons in order to deal with that. But yeah, the main thing being, because you have to get down to 2 infantry stands for the last stand to even kick in, by the time you get there, it doesn't really matter that your last stand is modified to a 5+ instead of a 3+. So, the tactics, however, while 4+ isn't great, you know, I think everyone would rather have a 3+ tactics. It's similar, in my opinion, in the sense of the last stand rule, where, man, and I feel like I'm going to take a lot of flack from this from German players, Stormtroopers is so overrated. For those of you that don't know, pretty much every single German unit in the game has a special rule called Stormtrooper, where if you pass your first movement order, you can attempt a second one later in the turn. This allows German players to do what I've heard locally dubbed the Tau Jump Pack maneuver, where they can bounce a Panzer out from behind a building with a successful blitz, not count as moving, and then bounce back behind the building with a successful shoot and scoot, being able to maneuver 8 inches total, basically, and keep stationary rate of fire, which is incredible. But you have to roll 3+, which means 33% of the time you're going to fail. So overall, as neat as tactics are in 4th edition, and I love the movement orders, you should not be relying on them to win games for you. They're great assets. They allow you to execute plans on the table in a very interesting way. But usually the chance of failing is such a large downside that I end up sticking to the either auto pass or ones that aren't as necessary. You know, like failing a follow me usually isn't going to make you lose an entire unit. As a German player, the amount of Panzers I've had shot off the table because I passed my blitz and then threw a two for the scoot and shoot to get back into cover. Oh man, they get caught out and they get blown up just as much. And so that's why I don't think the tactics reduction really matters for Greyhound, because you shouldn't necessarily be needing tactics. The only thing that's really messed me up is if I've had to reposition the infantry and had to dig foxholes. That 4+ tactics is kind of rough to continually try and dig foxholes. You know, it's one of those where you either get it or you don't. And if you don't get it on that first turn, usually the way the dice go for me, they're not going to be in foxholes for the rest of the game. But yeah, overall, the 2+ tactics, kind of like the 5+ last stand. While they are negatives and skill reductions, they aren't hindering what you're trying to do with the 1/16th too much. And so what ends up happening is each unit in this formation gets -2 points per unit. So what this means is, on average, if you take 7 to 9 units out of the Panzer Division, which you're going to be using, I should specify this, Armored Panzergrenadier Company. If you take 7 to 9 units out of an Armored Panzergrenadier Company, you are going to be making back 14 to 18 points that can be repurposed into other units, which is why this points reduction matters, because you're able to add more into your list. So let me rephrase this. For the cost of downgrading your last stand to a 5+ and your tactics to a 4+, you essentially get 4 8.8 centimeter heavy AA guns in pack front nests basically for free. Pack front massively increases the survivability of whatever gun team or infantry team is deployed in the nests. Pack front. The German defenders featured carefully camouflaged anti-tank gun nests. The guns would wait until the enemy tanks were in the killing zone, then open fire. Gun teams in this unit cannot move, but can rotate to face the target when shooting in our nests. Each gun team is a separate independent team. The nests are always concealed in a bulletproof cover. Teams attacking a nest must re-roll successful firepower tests to destroy it, and nests cannot charge into contact. To make a long story short, 1/16th makes it so that you can take 8 AT-14 shots that you have to check firepower tests on to destroy them. It's very powerful. In addition, the Greyhound is able to take 6 7.5 cm armored gun trucks for 9 points discounted down to 7. That's 6 vehicles, 12 shots stationary, 1 shot moving, or 6 shots moving, at 18.9 firepower, 3+ with heat. Just between those two, that's a lot of shots going out there to deal with medium tanks and heavy tanks. Keep in mind that at most, the Armored Panzergrenadier Company and these 88 nest guns are 2/3 of your army. Again, at most, you can slim them down if you need to, and the Armored Panzergrenadiers take a less partial strength company for something. But always make sure to bring your mortar trucks and your gun trucks, because those are going to be your main advantageous units. You know, being able to pop 12 shots out of an ambush will deal with medium tanks, and then the pack front 88s being able to deploy as independent teams makes it so that you can split them up to cover crossroads and choke points, even as sacrificial lambs, to put your opponent into a situation where they either destroy it or have to deal with it. Just annoying enough where you make them hesitate, to the thought of, man, it's just one gun, but it could really mess it up if it's able to fire. And that's really what you got to do with this list is defense in depth. But the other thing that's really nice about it is because everything, with the exception of the nested 88s, everything is mobile, everything is tracked. So you can reposition as you need be, which is why my first episode of this podcast that I've titled The Maneuver Meta is focused on this list. This list, I feel, has set the meta for late war V4. Pretty much every list is compared to how well it does against 116th Armored Panzergrenadiers. Because again, this power that's hitting is still two-thirds max of your list. Well, I guess the argument could be made for some people that they'll go up to 75% max. In a 100-point game, that means you can still take two Tigers on top of this. If you're wanting to go for the spam with elite support options, that's two more 88s, this time mounted on damn Tigers, which, while they aren't as invulnerable as they were in prior years before we began really advancing into late war, that 2+ cross check and that front armor 9 makes it so that it can maneuver into places where you can statistically set it up and go. Unless half of my opponent's army repositions to deal with this, it is unkillable where it is right now. I've seen people take two Tigers, plop them on an objective. I've seen people take arguments for a single Ferdinand, or sorry, Elephant. I'm so used to them for mid-war. But seeing people take a single Elephant and just plopping it on an objective, go ahead, deal with it. The amount of firepower it's going to take for you to statistically deal with it is not going to be worth the diversion. So, all in all, this is the 116th list. Some of the things that I really like about it are it's pretty historically fluffy. It's an armored Panzergrenadier company with their half tracks that will have support as needed. You know, you can run Tigers with this, you can run Jagdpanzer 4s, you could run. Yeah, even run Panthers, you could run Panzer 470s, you could run Hetzers. You have that little blob of armor support that would run with the Panzergrenadiers in the war. So that's really neat. I really enjoy when a list comes around that's actually pretty fluffy to how some of the German units would have thought, especially with the 116th, how they historically fought in Normandy as the rear guard. Which is actually the name for the last stand role. It's modified to rear guard 5+. Some of the things that I don't like about this list is the fact that it is so competitive because every single unit gets the 2+ or 2 minus 2-point discount. There's a very similar card in Bagration German that does a minus 2 points to discount two stats on models in the unit, but it only counts for the formation HQ and any black box required units. And the thing that really kind of rubs me the wrong way is that was an errata that was put out after Bagration German, the book that this card is with, came out. And that, in my eyes, is a very, very sensible way to balance 116th. Make it so that you're only getting a 6-point discount and not four flak 88s for free. So, that is really going to be it for my first podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please let me know what you think. I'll try and figure out how to link social media and such so that you guys can find me. But I'm going to try and do a monthly or maybe even a bi-weekly bit here. I think we're just approaching about 20 minutes. So, something that's not too long, not too short, but please, please, please let me know what you think. Be sure to check me out on TikTok. I got a whole lot of stuff coming for Flames of War. Bulge Americans is on the horizon. My stuff is in the mail. So, that will all be coming very soon to my YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikToks. Everything that I put out there for you guys. So, as always, like and subscribe for more content. I'm not sure how the this podcast will be set up platform-wise. Download, find my other social medias, tell your friends about me, too, you know, friends that play the game. I love having conversations about this, because 100% one of my views in this interpretation of 1/16th could be wrong. Tell me if it is. Explain to me why it is I'm wrong. I love having that discourse back and forth, that little argument back and forth. I love list building. I love theory crafting. I love the probability of it, trying to fine-tune it into just a well-running machine. And if I'm wrong, oh man, then I'm going to try and find a way to make something even better. So thank you everyone for listening to episode 1 of the Maneuver Meta, and I will see you all next time.